Dan Celia.
I want to be a nation that is on the biblical principles and the values and the ethics that are found in Scripture.
Your personal economy.
Financial issues that you need to know.
Aligning reality with truth.
But I think it's time we ask ourselves if we still know the freedoms that were intended for us by the founding fathers.
Now, here's your host, Dan Celia.
Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. As we speak, there are schools in Colorado that have decided to close this morning and are probably going to stay closed for the rest of the week since it's coming up on Easter. There is an 18-year-old woman, if you haven't heard, who has aspirations of another Columbine. They know that they're looking for her. They know that she has purchased a shotgun, and I don't know whether she already had other guns, but recently just purchased lots of ammunition and a shotgun. They are, as far as I know, they haven't apprehended her yet, but they are looking for her. And the schools, obviously concerned. So they, instead of trying to protect against it, you know, in this short term without, you know, a whole lot of resources to do that with, without giving this a lot of thought, they've decided to close schools. Smart move. I'm not saying all of them. I don't know exactly what area this was in, but I did just come across that they are closing a lot of the schools because of this. So sad, really sad. But that's the world, unfortunately, in which we live. And better to err with an abundance of caution than not to do this. All right, somebody is asking me about this stock on Facebook. Omar is asking me about a stock that he sell. I didn't tell him to sell it, Omar. I told him to keep it. I said, don't sell it. I don't know why he even called, to be honest with you. It's on my buy list, as you pointed out. But nonetheless, I'm not sure why we'd call about selling a stock that's on my buy list, but whatever. I've given up on trying to figure all that out when people calls what they were thinking, or I just assumed they didn't put one and one together. You ask a timeless question about all things that we are involved in. He's talking about the Yemen war, and Ahmar is asking us, what's the exit strategy or exit plan for Yemen? I don't really need to answer that, right? That's a rhetorical question, I would imagine. And of course, there is no exit strategy other than until it's over. And these wars seem to never end, because when we go in, we peck away in a very slow, easy way, because we always seem to have a hopeful, optimistic attitude that if we show up, it's going to be over. It doesn't end up getting over until we get serious and turn a whole lot of areas to dust. Now, there's not a lot of boots on the ground over there. It's mostly air support, but no, of course there's not an exit strategy. 844-707-5533. David is saying that, hey, I need some good utility stocks in my portfolio. Of the six that are on your buy list, there are two or three that I would like to buy today. Okay. So I guess it's just a comment. I'm not sure. Oh, he's asking which three. Hey, you know, buy the ones if you're looking for income. buy the ones with the highest dividend. If income's not very important, then you know, I would buy. I don't think it matters. I would buy the mid cap and the large cap, just from a security standpoint. I think you'd be better off. Some of these have moved up considerably so far for the year. So if you want to do a little homework, you might want to run a chart on all three of them. You can do that right on the website by clicking on the symbol. To click on the symbol, you get a chart. Click on year to date, and then click on 1 year and see what they've done in the year to date and the 1 year. And I would tend to look more at the ones that have not done as well. The ones that have done, have had the least amount of gain might be the ones that you want to consider out of those six that are on the buy list. Hopefully that helps. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Gene in Texas. Hey, Gene.
Dan, thank you, boy, for all that you're saying about these infants or preborns. And anyway, Dan, what I want to know is I hear so many things about declines of any areas of financial support supplied to these so-called immigrants who just cross over our borders.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't know what to believe, and I can't believe that they're being financially supported by our country in all areas, that maybe our own people who established this country back to the 1720s and the DAR inheritance people.
Yeah. You know what? Gene?
Dan?
I'm going to answer that when I come back and give you some information. I got to go to the Ag Report. And then as soon as I get back, I'll answer it. I'll put you on hold, though, so you can listen. We'll be right back, folks. We have Craig Hager coming up with our Ag Report, and then we'll be back. So we'll be back right after this.
This is Craig Haugard with your Financial Issues Ag Update. An improved weather forecast and active field work in portions of the Corn Belt had corn prices under pressure yesterday. The 6 to 15-day forecast shifted yesterday to a model that was warmer and drier. The shift in forecast had traders downplaying concerns over late plantings, with many traders comparing this year to 1998, which also got off to a slow start, but had over 70% of the crop planted by the third week in May. Historically, if we have 70% of the crop planted by the third week in May, we don't lose corn acres. And if over 90% of the crop is planted by then, we generally gain acres. As I record this, the overnight spot corn futures are trading unchanged. Soybean prices were hammered yesterday as traders reacted to improved planting weather. Also adding pressure to prices was a report that Brazil is in talks with China to increase Brazilian meat exports to that country. This would come at the potential cost of reduced demand for U.S. meat and thus reduced domestic demand for soybean meal. In the overnight trade, spot soybean futures are trading 2 cents higher. Good winter wheat conditions overall, coupled with improving weather forecasts and the expectation that world supplies will continue to grow, resulted in wheat prices taking a beating yesterday. In the overnight trade, we're seeing that trend reverse slightly, with Chicago trading 3 cents higher, while Kansas City is trading up 4, and Minneapolis is continuing to struggle as it's trading down a penny as I record this. Cotton futures had a turnaround Tuesday after Monday's lower close, with May futures up 145 points to close at 77.94. In the overnight trade, spot futures are up an additional 8 points. Livestock futures were split, with cattle higher and hogs lower in Tuesday's trade. June live cattle were up 97.5 cents as they settled at 122.45, while May feeder cattle closed up 17.5 cents at 151.20. June lean hogs suffered a setback as they were down $1.17.5, settling at 97.12. Class 3 milk futures sent mixed messages, with May a couple of points lower, while the June futures were up 6 points at 15.80. In the overnight trade, spot futures are trading a point lower. In the cash markets, choice beef boxes were $1.07 higher at $2.32.05, while selects were 7 cents lower as they settled at $2.21.15. In hogs, pork carcass values closed 51 cents lower as they settled at $86.53. This has been Craig.
The opening statement in the Constitution of the United States says this, that we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty. I don't know what part of that we don't get anymore. That was written by men who cared about this country deeply.
Financial Issues with Dan Celia.
So I was talking to Gene there before, excuse me, before the Ag Report. Gene was asking about all that she's been hearing about the illegal immigrants that are coming over and the money that they're costing the government. Now, I'm sure that a lot of what you are hearing, Gene, is probably not accurate, but certainly they do have access now once they're here, once they get over. If there is a young lady that's pregnant, she's about ready to deliver, she's going to go to the emergency room. The emergency room is going to take care of her and deliver that baby. If their kids have the measles or need to get vaccinated, they can go to the emergency room. They're going to get taken care of. If they get sick, they can go to the emergency room. They're going to take care. So just the healthcare system alone is going to take have an awful lot of burden, which is going to hurt people like us that are here legally and have access to those things, even though we're paying. It's going to cause issues because we're going to be waiting longer to get help. That is one issue. Certainly, when they are being detained, obviously they're being fed and sometimes clothed and housed and watched and guarded and all those things. So there's a lot of resources that cost a lot of money that's going over, you know, that's involved in all of that. And that's what people are taking into consideration and talking about. Maybe that's what you're hearing. Are they the kinds of things that you're hearing about, Gene?
Well, yeah, and I'm hearing, you know, that if they are in an apartment, they get financial support for that apartment. They get food stamps. They get cash. I know a man, an incident personally. This, and the people who, the only ones I could find to help me, you know, were from some other country. And this man was wanting a job truck driving. He was tired of getting $643 a week for just lying around doing nothing. He wanted a job and you know, couldn't find a job. But, you know, he had no skills anyway.
Yeah.
You know, reliable skills. And I was just wondering, you know, how long was he receiving that $643 a week? And if everybody gets this, you know, what's wrong here? Because our, you know, people in our country, you know, who, you know, are here, you know, cannot get that kind of support.
Yeah. Well, that is the problem, and that's one of the reasons why there are a lot of people that are so adamant about we've got to stop this. There's a lot of reasons why, and that is one of them. All those things happen. This is taxing our economy. And then at the same breath, we have politicians talking about the debt going up, which is another problem. But how's the debt ever going to get in control when this is a part of the debt and the spending that we're not allowed to touch? We can't touch. We're not going to do this. And look, I'm not against immigration. I'm just for legal immigration. I'm against illegal immigration, just like I'm against anything that is illegal. I don't think any of us is for anything that is illegal. And the narrative has been played so much, they leave the word illegal off when they talk about immigrants, but they're illegal immigrants. And they say, well, they haven't done anything wrong. They've already broken the law by crossing the border illegally. So they're already in violation of the United States law. So, you know, they say they're not doing anything wrong. Well, they have, because they chose not to come in here from a in a legal way. So We have issues too. We've got to make that system smoother, more efficient, more effective. But nonetheless, we've got to stop it or put all the burden on cities and states that want them and not give them any federal support. And that's the other thing that we can do. So if you live in San Francisco and you are paying a San Francisco city tax and a county of San Francisco tax and a state of California tax, then that tax money ought to be used to take care of the immigrants that you have opened up your borders to and are welcoming. And so, but keep our federal dollars out of it. I don't want my federal tax going to support Planned Parenthood, and I don't want it to get to support any illegal actions that are going on in the country. That's not why we pay taxes. So you're right in the way you're thinking. It's got to stop, but it's not going to stop until we can stop to make something happen in the voting booth that is going to be long-lasting, and that we have people that we're electing that are actually being elected because they want to represent our values and represent the people that are paying their, writing their paycheck. So, but I appreciate you calling in, Gene, as always, and I sure appreciate you. God bless you, and I pray you have a wonderful, wonderful Easter. God bless, Gene.
Oh, we do. Yes, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let me go to Bill. Bill's calling us from Louisiana. Hey, Bill.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a couple of issues. One, my daughter recently started drawing Social Security off of me.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't aware she could do that, but anyway, she's getting it. She's 13, finally going to college, and we don't really need that money, so we want to put it up for her. And you had mentioned once before what the best thing to do, but I couldn't quite remember what it is. So should I put it back in a college fund for her, or put it under my name, or what?
Yeah, if you have a college fund set up for her, is there one already set up?
No, not yet.
No, okay. So, yeah, I mean, you could put it into a 529 plan, you know, a college savings plan. That might be the better thing to do. That'll keep it under a little bit more control, at least in a number of ways. So that might be the better thing to do. Does she live with you? Is she under your roof?
Yes, she's I have full custody.
Yeah. So so how did she find out that she could do that with Social Security?
I started growing Social Security. She's a late in life blessing. So,
yeah.
And when I signed up for start growing, they said, well, your daughter gets it too. And I go, really? So, okay. So that's how that came to be.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I would look at the 529 plan. The downside to that is two things. One is if she doesn't go to college and then uses that money, or not college, but if she doesn't go on to further her education where she can use that in any way, then you lose the tax benefit of it. So right now it's growing tax-free, and you get to use it tax-free for college. But if that happens, if she doesn't use it for that, then you lose the tax benefit. And then as she uses it, it becomes taxable. Now, the other downside is if she may be eligible for any kind of assistance or help or grants or even scholarships in some cases, having money in her name in any way can maybe put her to a bottom of a list or make it a little bit less advantageous for her to be able to have a shot at getting some of those things, even though she would qualify by all accounts, you know, if that were the case. I mean, if she doesn't qualify, then it's irrelevant anyway, and that doesn't matter, and that's not an issue. But if she might qualify, meaning the household income is a certain thing or whatever it is, then that might disqualify her or give her a lower priority. So that's another downside that you might have to consider. But, you know, the plans are great. I don't know about Louisiana. I don't know if they have a plan by which that you can you're Kansas, right? You Kansas? No.
Louisiana. We do have a plan. I can put money back, saves on the Louisiana also.
And do they have one that where It's a 529 plan from the state, but it's also one that prepays college tuition.
I'm not quite sure how it works.
Yeah, some states have that, where Texas has it, but you have to stay in the state to go to school. That's, you know, that may be an advantage or a downside, but that's the only thing that you have to look at. But that's a really good plan, because it you're kind of locking in tuition at the current rates that you're putting the money in. That's not a bad thing to consider either. So I would ask about that.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
I had a second quick question. My wife has a little variable annuity from it's called New York Life Premier Variable Annuity Plan Type IRA.
Okay.
But still a huge surrender charge on it.
Yeah.
$1,400. We should probably just let that ride till that surrender charge is gone.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want to pay that surrender charge. So I would just hang on to it. You know, it'll go down every year. And once it gets to a place where, you know, it's either gone or it's just very, very low, then, yeah, I would hold off.
And then one last one. I can't understand this at all. Steve Boya, Life Pay Plus Minimum Guaranteed Withdrawal Benefit.
Uh-huh.
Called a quarterly ratchet death benefit.
Uh-huh.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, so that's like another annuity, but it's wrapped up in a life insurance program. That should have some cash value to it. I don't know if there's a surrender charge to it. This is not something
there's a few dollars left. So
there's what?
Would you recommend?
Yeah.
It's not enough to worry about.
Okay.
But would you recommend putting that into like a Roth for her?
Well, is she working?
Yeah, she said we both work.
Yeah. So as long as you're working and have earned income, yeah, you can put it into a Roth and start adding to it. And I think that might be a better plan for you.
Okay. All right. Dan, we thank you for your time this morning. Keep up the great work. We enjoy listening to you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Bill. I'll do it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
844-707-5533. We have lines open if you want to queue your call up. 844-707-5533. Welcome back. Financial Issues, 844-707-5533, 844-707-5533. Let me go back to calls. We have lines open, 844-707-5533. Let me go to Bill. Bill's calling us from Kansas. Hey, Bill.
Good morning, Dan. Appreciate all you do, and got a horror story to tell you about a deferred variable annuity.
Okay.
Before I knew you and became a partner, I've been a partner with you for 7 years now, but before I knew you, I got into the Allianz Vision Deferred Variable Annuity, and it sounded real good. I started with $60,000, and thankfully not all my eggs were in this one basket. But it was paying 8% simple interest, and it has a death benefit, and after 5 years, there's no surrender charge, which I've had it 7 years now. So anyway... the contract value keeps going down. I've lost $14,000 in it. They keep adding this 8%, so it's worth about $93,600 now. Mm-hmm. Well, it does have, like I say, has death benefit, but if I want to access the rider now, I can get 4.5%, which is $351 a month. Mm-hmm. It will take me 22 years to get that $93,000.
Yes.
And the question I failed to ask is the increase liquid as well as the original investment after you run out of surrender charges. I cannot get anything but that $46,000, which I've lost $14,000. I cannot get that unless I want to take that hit. So that's the question people need to ask.
Yeah.
Is the increased liquid as well as the original investment. And, that, Dan, I'm thinking about just taking my $46,000 and running, because in 6 years, I can, if I get 5% interest, I can get my original investment back. 15 years, I can get up to where I that $93,000. Mm. But if I access the rider, it will take me 22 years to get that money back.
Yeah.
So that's the question they need to ask.
Yeah. And I oftentimes tell them these questions they need to ask, like, is it all compounded, which is the same question. So, but I frame it in a way that maybe some people, it's easier for them to understand. At least I think it is. But what you've just said is pretty understandable. But, it is, I always tell people, with the annuities, I said, it's forget about what it's worth. Can you cash it out and get that money, And you can't most of the time. That's good if you're going to annuitize it, but that's all it's good for. And it goes back to what I say, and I really appreciate your calling, because it goes back to what I say all the time. What makes us think, people think, that somehow insurance companies have some magical investment that allows them to give you 8% when nobody in the world can give you 8%. How do they do that? Well, they do that with smoke and mirrors. That's how they do it. And they can't do it. They're not doing it. But the perception is they sell these things based on perception. When you bought it, when so many other people bought it, they bought it. You made a good decision because you were told something, and if you're told this and it's perceived that this is the way it is, of course you're going to do it. And that's how they sell it. That's why they're all under investigation. They're under investigation for selling practices, not the validity of the product. And, that's what happens over and over again. And I've got a million horror stories like that I've heard over the last 35 years. And it is, it's amazing. Back even 35 years ago, there were still some really good ones, legitimate ones that were really good. But they're a lot fewer and further between.
Well, and I suspect right off the top, he made a pretty good bunch of money selling this to me.
Well, yeah, a bunch of money, and that's why the surrender charge, because the insurance company has to recoup what they paid in commission.
Right.
And that's one of the things they use to recoup that money that they've paid out in very, very large commissions.
Right. Well, I'm thinking about just bailing out of it. What do you think about that?
I would be done with it. I would just bail out of it. At this point, look, get it into something that you fully understand, whether it's a CD or it is, something else. But get into something you understand and just get out of the whole insurance product altogether.
Yeah, well, I've got a TD Ameritrade account, and I love the portfolio tracker, and so I'm partnering with you, and I'm sure I can do better just taking it out. So I wanted you to confirm that. But I have another question.
Sure.
Funny thing, I have IP stock, and I shouldn't have said that, I guess.
Well, that's okay. That's okay.
But anyway, they said the stock's going down because they're not needing as many boxes, and I thought, that is ludicrous.
Well, it is. I mean, now I will say, one of the things, you've heard me say this before, when I look at, I guess you've heard me, but I say it all the time. I watch FedEx and UPS numbers. I always look at their numbers. I can't buy their stock. They're not biblically responsible. But I always look at their volume numbers and their projections about volume, because it does give me a pretty good feel for what's going to happen with the commodity, and it really is, of cardboard. And the biggest producer of that commodity is the stock you just mentioned. And they have it locked up tight. This also is a stock, and by the way, it's one of my top five favorite stocks, But when you look at the economy, this is also a stock that is incredibly driven by the economy. And I was very, very surprised by January's numbers, because there was such a good Christmas season with Amazon, which, by the way, uses a lot of cardboard, with Amazon and shopping and centers, you know, and just shopping in general, retail, did so well. And that's also a very good thing for them. And the volume was up over the year ago. So I think what it boils down to, and I'll know better in about 3 weeks when I get deep into their first quarter numbers, but there's other things from a restructuring standpoint going on in the company, and I think that's got a lot to do with it. But a great, great company, and one that you absolutely want to own for the long term, for sure. But,
well,
yeah.
I'll listen to you, not the word on the street.
Yeah, so I would. I mean,
it's okay.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. You know, they're the only act in town. It doesn't matter their competitors. They have some competitors, but the bulk of what they do is used around the world. And when we have global slowdown like this, and I remember the CEO in 2010. Saying when they were talking about a 3% GDP growth, which we never did get, but they were talking about it, and he had made a statement. He said, "Let me tell you something. Nobody knows better than us." Now, this is a guy that's been in charge of that company for 35, 40 years. Said, "I don't care what anybody says. I know what 3% GDP growth feels like. I know exactly what it feels like, and this doesn't even feel like a 2%." GDP growth economy. And he was right, and he generally is. So they have a pretty good feel for their market. But I'll tell you this much, they're not losing market share to anybody. They still have control over the main product in which they use for manufacturing, the pulp and the commodity project processing. And they're spending an awful lot of money developing the next generation of products. So good company to hang on to it.
Okay. Thank you, Dan. And I appreciate your input. And we will make that pre-born goal because, it's easy to do. And with your help and everybody out there, we'll make that goal by Mother's Day.
Okay? We'll make it. I think we will. I think we've got the great multiplier on our side. And I know it's going to be good. I know this is something God wants. I prayed about it for a long time before, you know, committing the airtime and the time to do this. But I know it's what God wants. We'll make it. So I'm excited about it. Thank you, Bill, and I appreciate your help.
Thank you.
All right. God bless. 844-707-5533. Bill was talking about the goal with Preborn. We have this match going on. It is an amazing match. We're trying to get there by Mother's Day. And somebody is donating an entire ultrasound machine for every 100 people, and well, not people, but for every 100 ultrasounds we get sponsored. It costs $28 to sponsor an ultrasound. And for every 100, and the reason we came up with 100 was there's 10 pregnancy centers on the waiting list. And if we can get, we want to get all 10 of them off the waiting list. We want to get a machine inside their center so that they can start using this to save lives. And so everything was just a good round number. We need 1,000 people by Mother's Day to come up with $28 to at least sponsor one ultrasound. And I know there's a lot of people doing a whole lot more than that. So I know we'll get there easily. But let's not count on it, because we know the darkness of the world that we are pushing.
The opinions and recommendations expressed by Dan are his own and do not necessarily represent the opinions of this station or any of the show's sponsors.
Welcome back, Financial Issues. I'm Dan Seely, 844-707-5533. You can go to our website right there on the right-hand side. You can click on the campaign that we're doing for preborn. I would like you to do it through our website so that we can track it and keep count and have an idea of when we're going to get to that 1,000 people. I know that I told all of you that we were going to have a baby bottle there that was going to measure it, but for some reason, our IT people can't seem to get that on there. I don't know why. I didn't think it was that much to ask, but we can't seem, that's not there. So I apologize because I got an email saying, you know, I wanted to see where we were, and you said it was going to be on there. I know I said, but maybe I need to say it clearer to IT and let them know that, you know, I don't know what's so hard about it, but I don't know what the deal is. But you can get to the logo, and that's the important part. So click on that. That'll take you right to the page that you need to get to preborn. Keep in mind, you can always dial #250. You can always dial that. That's the phone number. I know it seems odd that you have to, you do, that's all you need to do. #250, that's the number. I'm going to ask you what the keyword is. The keyword is baby, and you can make your contribution right there. So that's the other thing you can do. So, or you can go directly to the website, preborn.org. I'm just trying to keep a count as all. There's no real significance to the count other than I just want to see how close we're getting and how panicked I have to get as we get closer to Mother's Day. But I don't think we're going to have any problem. So I hope you're going to participate in that. We sure do appreciate it. Let me go to Gary. Gary's calling us from Texas. Hey, Gary.
Hey, Dan. Thanks for taking my call and for doing the Lord's work then on the money side. I had a couple of questions. I'm not a partner, but I'm going to be joining soon. And I'm 55. I was medically retired a long time ago. My wife's 53. But investing, should we go Roth or IRA, or could we do it for both of us, one of us?
Yeah, so
my wife works.
Yeah, so if your wife is still working, then you can only do it with her, for her, because you have to have earned income.
We could do it for both of us. So okay.
Okay. Yeah. So that's right. You can only do it while it works. So take advantage of it, you know, and get that open, and that way, down the road, if you want to start transferring a little bit of your 401k or when you turn that to an IRA maybe someday or other things you might have, you'll be able to have that account open, be able to do it.
Okay, so we can only do it for her on the Roth, not me, right?
No, well, what are you contributing to now?
I am doing invested in another firm, but different stocks and a couple of mutual funds, and I'm going to move it over to you.
Okay, so. All right. So, yeah, if she has the earned income, now, then yes, you can only do that for her, but it's okay. It's just to get one of them is a good thing so that you have that as a vehicle to move money to.
Okay, and on your website, will it tell us how we should be invested according to our age? And
yes. Yes, so when you go to, you'll go to the partner side, and then on the right-hand side, there's three columns that pop up. You'll see that asset allocation models. You'll go to that. For your age group, you'll find which one applies.
Wonderful. And I'm going to do the preborn that as well. But
good. That's great.
Thank you, Dan. God bless you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gary. I sure appreciate it.
You bet.
844-707-5533. Let me go to Raina from Florida. Hey, Raina.
Hi. How are you, Dan?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I have a question. I'm 71 years old. I'm a retired school teacher, and I'm living on Social Security and my pension. I pay $32 a month for $10,000 group term life. Should I take that amount that I'm paying and get a long-term care policy?
Well, your long-term care policy is going to cost a whole lot more than that, Raina. Now, do they have a group? Do they offer a group long-term care policy?
No, they don't.
They don't, yeah. Long-term care insurance is great, but it's very expensive. And the older you get, the more expensive it is. And it gets better when you're in a good health, obviously. So we need to, the thing of it is, I don't want to discourage you and say, well, you know what, it's really expensive. There, you could probably look into it and get it to a point that it would be affordable. And what I mean by that is what an agent would do is start changing things, subtracting things, lowering the monthly benefit, you know, if you ever use it. Taking out the inflation, right, or things like that. But what generally happens when you do that, you end up getting a policy that though you can afford it and you're paying into it, but it's going to be it's not going to be much help to you. So when you look at it, it may have been somewhat of a waste to just do that little bit because it's still not going to prevent you from a situation where you might at some point in time, if you ever get to that place, where at some point in time you might have to go on Medicaid. It's not going to really do much of a help to prevent that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm glad you called. Thank you. All right. Good stuff. I appreciate it. 844-707-5533. Let me go to Kevin. Kevin's calling us from Texas. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Dan. How you doing today?
I'm doing okay.
Good, good. Hey, my questions are regarding the purchase of silver bars. I received a letter from the Federal Mint. It says the 40th Treasurer of the Emeritus of the United States. And it had a newspaper clipping with it where it's saying that 0.999 pure silver bars are being sold at $29 a bar, which is down from $50 per bar. Is that something that you're familiar with?
$29 for a 1 ounce bar?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's not a good price.
It's not a good price.
No, I mean that's $10 above, more than $10 above spot price for silver. So I guess they are selling for that. They would love to sell them for that. But you know, you've got silver sitting. I don't even know what it is. I'll try to look at it while I'm talking to you. But silver somewhere around $14.50, $15 an ounce. So to pay, that much, it's $14.94. It's $15 an ounce. So, if you went to I recommend this place called AmpMex. It's APEMX.com. And you probably would pay for a 1 ounce. 0.999 coin or bar, you'd probably pay about $19 maybe for $20 in that range. I'm not sure, but somewhere in that neighborhood. So that if you want to buy, you should only buy silver like that that is 0.999, and you should only buy silver that you have in your possession. Now I'm not a big fan on buying precious metals at all, but if you're going to do it and you want to have a little bit of it, then you should have it in your possession and that's how you would buy it. But I wouldn't pay $29 for it. Look, there's no value in these so-called minted coins. They're commemorative mints. They don't have any numismatic value. So there's no difference between the coin or the bar. It's just a form that they put it in. And it doesn't have numismatic value. It's not a U.S. government minted thing that has actually been in circulation or going in circulation. It's the circulation, a coin that has been in circulation, gold or silver. That's what gives it value above the spot price. So if you buy a bar, which is perfectly fine, or a coin that is just like a bar, 0.999, then you can buy that at a, you know, through the internet. I wouldn't buy it through a dealer because they're predators and they'll hound you every day until they, you know, try to get every nickel they can out of you. So, but if you want to buy a little bit, then I would recommend that you go to that site I mentioned. I don't have any. It's APMEX.com. I don't have any association with them. They don't know who I am. It just happens to be the place over the years that I've bought and sold from, because all their prices are published and you can buy right on their website, and you can buy it without talking to anybody. And so that's why I mentioned that. So that's what I would tell you to do, Kevin.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm glad you called.
All right.
Thank you. 844-707-5533. Folks, we're coming up on the end of this hour. We got another hour left. Phone lines are open. If you've got to leave us, remember, all that you have is his. Let's be a good and faithful steward. Have a great day. God bless. More financial issues right after this.